Welcome to the Pin Leader Podcast, where strategic leaders get straight to the topics, strengthening our awareness and sharpening our minds. The Pin Leader Podcast is produced by Roar, a production division of Maze & Associates LTD. Find out more at www.mazeassociatesltd.com. Now here is your award-winning host, Dr. Shan DeGore.
Hello and welcome back to the Pin Leader Podcast. Today I'm excited about talking about how we can pour into others. And I have someone here who has done so much work in the community and in her business life. Her name is Catherine Tucker, and she serves as a senior vice president at a large financial institution. She's also a board president of Women of Toledo, which is a large nonprofit. And she's also a co-founder of Toledo Share Winery. But she does so much work and mentors and leads groups and gives back to the community. So I'm excited to have her with me. Welcome to the show, Catherine.
Thank you so much for having me, Dr. Gore.
You know, let's start off with your passion, because when I look at your resume and I look at all the work that you do, it's amazing. So what are you passionate about?
Yeah, thank you. I am passionate about, when I think about where that passion comes from, it comes from balance and equality. I am a person who believes in humanity and the idea that I want to live in a world, and I want a world for our children that is going to get as close to that balance as possible. So any and everything I do every single day is really trying to bring balance and trying to bring the equality that I think our world desperately needs in order for us to progress in a way that's going to be better for future generations.
Well, you also are a wife and a mother of children.
Yes.
So you're trying to make a better world for your children as well.
Absolutely.
It's very exciting. Well, they have a great role model.
Well, thank you.
What would you say is your most prized accomplishment? Because you've been working in the field of the financial institutions, but you've also, I understand you're in your last year of law school on top of these other organizations. So, you know, can you talk about your accomplishments and, you know, and why law school too?
Yeah, thank you. Interestingly enough, so when I grew up, my mother was an academic, and she's incredibly smart and a huge reader, which is a big reason why I read a lot of books. But one of the things that I didn't have that I wish I did was I wasn't great at standardized testing. When you talk about my greatest accomplishment, it was getting into law school. It was something that I had to challenge myself with. So I think I've had a lot of talents. We all have our own gifts and talents. But for me, one of the things I was not proud of was just me academically. And it's something that I desired. It was something that I wanted to be like my mother. I worked in the banking industry. Then I got into nonprofit. When I got into nonprofit, I found my passion. But I found that there was a lot of inequitable practices in the housing and homeownership industry. And so I wanted to do something about it. And I'll tell you a quick story as to what led me into law school. So I was working with a client who had just received a settlement, a death benefit, and she received over $80,000, and she wanted to purchase a home, and she could have just bought it cash, but we have been working with her for about 3 years. So we go to the bank, we're excited, she has the money down, she's got the credit score, and this bank was like openly discriminating against her.
Oh no.
I did what I could, and I remember walking out of there and I go, I wish I had more power to do something about this issue and do something for my client. So I went home that night and I told my husband, I'm like, what do you think about me going to law school? And you know what he said? I thought he was going to be like, you're crazy. He goes, you would make an excellent lawyer.
Oh,
do it.
That's amazing.
I'm like, really?
That's great.
What I was very afraid of, Dr. Gore, is that I said to myself, I don't know how I'm going to pass this LSAT. I took a practice one and it was so terrible. But what I'm most proud of is I studied for 9 months. I self-studied. I purchased a program and I faced the biggest fear in my life. And that was my own vulnerability and insecurity around my education. Mm-hmm. And so I worked hard and I took it the first time and I didn't do well. The second time, when I saw my results, I thought they were the wrong results. I refreshed for like 2 hours. I'm like, they gave me the wrong results. And that was a huge accomplishment for me because it was an insecurity that I had and I overcame. And not only did I get into the law school, but I got in the law school on a scholarship. So to me, that was a breakthrough point of this is something I'm actually proud of myself, but it gave me this whole different appreciation for as humans and educationally what we can do with our mind. The more we use it, the more we exercise it, the more we educate it, the more it's capable of. So I would say that's probably my biggest accomplishment.
That's excellent. I was looking at it and thinking to myself that, you know, you talking about pouring into others, you poured into yourself first to make sure that you could actually do that test. And I love the spirit of not giving up and to continually go back and take the test again. I do work with clients and I tell them, don't give up the first time. Keep going. Keep working on the elements that are not quite in shape yet. And then you'll get that success. You know, can you talk a little bit about the pouring into others that you do? It's kind of like a way of looking at it because you have a winery and I thought, I mean, pouring into a glass, you're pouring into others. But a winery, talk to me a little bit about that too.
Yes, so my husband is recently retired from law enforcement and prior deputy safety director for the mayor's office. And he's actually been making wine for 13 years. I make the joke that, you know, you had me at wine. That's why we got married. But I tried his wine when we first met and I was flabbergasted. I love wine. I wouldn't say I was a wine connoisseur, but I enjoyed a really great glass of wine. He's just been doing it as a hobby and he would make, you know, hundreds of bottles at a time and we would just give them away as gifts. So we started giving them away a little bit more and people were coming back to us asking to buy the wine. We're like, well, we can't really sell it, but you can have a bottle. Mm-hmm. So there was this moment where I was at lunch with a UN representative and as a gift, we brought her a bottle of wine and she says, wow, I would love to take some of this wine home to my family in Korea. And I said to my husband, you know, maybe we have something special here. Maybe we should make a business out of it. And I'm going to shout out Will and Angela Lucas because we had them over for a tasting and we had no label on it because we weren't thinking about selling it. And he says, don't ever give your bottle away without a label on it. You know, you've got something here. So we just decided to go for it and start a business. And we've been doing some events and some tastings as we're navigating all of the red tape to be up and running fully. So, but the thing about our winery, Toledo Share, and our other line, Angel Share, is really the whole reason we did this. And, you know, you mentioned pouring into others. There's something about our wine that really just brings people together. And that is what we want. We want people to celebrate each other with a glass of our wine in their hand. We want to, when we're doing wine tastings, it's really about the experience and the friendships and the connections and the networking that you get to do. So that's the whole premise of our wine is how do we create memories, connections, you know, one glass of wine at a time.
I think that there is an opportunity there to think about how you're rooted in wine. You said your husband actually has been doing it for a number of years. I was looking up some statistics and I noticed that there's 11,000 wineries according to a winery page in the United States. And I was shocked at how many there were, but I think yours is uniquely different. I've been privileged to taste a little bit of it and it's an amazing flavor. What do you think of the characteristics of having or starting a winery or starting a business like this?
Well, one, I think you do have to have a good product. And anytime you're going to market with a product, it has to have something, in my opinion, if you want to stand out, you're going to have something that is going to be a little different. My husband jokes, he says, I am actually not a wine drinker. And I think that is why his formula and his recipe is so excellent because he's not trying to make it taste like anything else. He experiments, he does different things. His process is very clean. So I think you have to have something to differentiate yourself. But, you know, I was speaking a couple of weeks ago and I gave these, you know, 5 not so basic business basics. And the first one is storytelling. People are not going to buy a product. They're going to buy an experience. They're going to buy a story. They want to feel like they're involved. So I think when you're trying to go to market with your product or your service, you really have to think about how do I invite people into my world? How can they share it? And then how do you create a level of loyalty and engagement? And so that's really what we're trying to do with our wine company, is give people a differentiated experience in the Toledo area, right? Because we don't have that many wineries here. And you mentioned all of those wineries. Less than 1% of wineries are Black owned.
I did not know that.
Yes. And so there is an opportunity for us to work and collaborate and really kind of share some of that market share. It's even, I think it's 5% or less are female owned.
Oh, that's amazing statistic too. I know that when you travel, and because we have listeners all over the United States, your goal is to bring that Toledo share out to others, correct?
Absolutely. We want Toledo to be, we want our wine to be Toledo's wine. And what you'll see in our product is there's a QR code, and we're going to tell the stories of people, places, and things in Toledo so that we can share that with, you know, places in the United States, places around the world. And we're not talking about old world Toledo. We're talking about now. Let's celebrate the people, places, and things that are making Toledo great. And so that's our way of sharing, you know, our passion with Toledo and to get Toledo's story out there. I mean, look at what you're doing here in Toledo and all of the people that are listening. So we want to do something that's going to celebrate and commemorate those awesome things that we have here in Toledo as well.
What would you say to your mentees? Again, you pour into others and you've got a number of programs running where others are looking to you to lead. Your mentees, how do you select a mentee? And then how do you go about getting them to the next level in their leadership experience?
So when I think you said something interesting, because at work, one of the things we talk about is like being a sponsor and being a mentor. Mm. So for me, when I have people that I'm working with as mentees, first, I have to make sure that that individual is really committed to whatever it is that they're trying to achieve, because people will look for, sometimes people are just not entirely sure what it is that they're trying to do. And so for me, it's like, what is it that you're looking to do? And then how can I be a good listener, be a good facilitator, and be, most importantly, inspirational? I went through a program years ago. They assign you a mentor. And one of the things, and the reason I said what I just said now, is I got assigned an amazing mentor. But at my point in my career journey, that wasn't the right mentor, because they were in a different industry. They were at a completely different level. And so I didn't get what I wanted from that. But then I got reassigned a mentor that was doing something similar and had similar experience, but was much more successful. And that mentorship was so strong. So I think it's important to connect mentees to the person that's going to help them get to whatever the thing they're looking for in life. So that's one. Second is what I said, is just listening and making sure that if I'm going to be someone's mentor, I want to open doors for them. I want to open their mind, and I want to do whatever I can to, you know, I do pour into people, and sometimes I do probably pour into people more than I pour into myself. So, but I want to make sure that the connection and the collaboration is going to help them get to where they want to get, and also just provide them like love and care and support. A lot of people, I remember being at that point, just wanting a mentor, a female who made me feel worthy and loved. And over time, you get the right person. I had a mentor who I love very much now. Her name's Patty Wise. She always told me, just go and do it. Like, I would come up with these terrible ideas, and she's like, you're amazing. You should do it. Yeah, you should do it. And I look back, sometimes I'm like, Patty, why did you encourage me to do that? But it's the same thing with why I love my husband. That positivity and encouragement, I heard it so much that at some point in time, I believed it. And that's what I look to give towards, you know, anyone who I'm mentoring.
Excellent. What would you suggest if someone is starting a journey? They're in a career right now. They are thinking about going back to school. What would you suggest that they do first?
I would suggest that they really reflect on what it is that they want, and is it something they want, or is it something that they're feeling pressure on, or is it, in my opinion, an insecurity? And I'll tell you why. The first time I tried to go back to get my master's, it was out of insecurity, because I wanted to be educated, and I was not successful because I didn't have the heart for it. If you're going to go back and get a higher ed degree, it's not going to be easy. So you have to find what is it inside that you're passionate about and what do you want to do. So know who you are, know why you're doing it, and understand that timing is important. I could have never gone to law school 5 years ago. It wouldn't have worked because life hadn't hit me in order to ignite me to want this for the right reasons. Otherwise, you end up going and getting multiple degrees that you can't use or you won't use. So I would say take some time to self-reflect. What is it you want to do? Not what does everyone else think you should do. My mom wanted me to go to school to be a doctor and then a pharmacist and then a nurse. And I ended up getting a business degree and then soon I'll be a lawyer. And so you find what you want to do. And there's a degree in everything and pursue that. But when you pursue it, you need to go all in and 100% and really understand that it's going to take grit. I am going back to school. I will tell you this. When I was studying for the LSAT, I had a 6-month-old.
Mm.
When I took the LSAT, I had a 1-year-old. When I was in law school, and I'll tell you this. So my first year of law school, I found out that I was pregnant. My second year of law school, I had my 4th child on the first day of school. My 3rd year of law school, my brother unexpectedly passed away at the age of 30. And 2 weeks ago, in my 4th year of law school, I just lost my father. I share that as inspiration because if you really want something, you gotta have that grit and push through it. I see my end goal is I wanna use my law degree to help people. It's not about working at a fancy law firm or having my own practice. I literally want my law degree to be the community's law degree. When they see me coming, they know that somebody's going to come correct to help them get whatever it is that they need. So think about what you want to do and pursue it because you know this, getting a doctorate degree, getting your master's degree, a law degree, an engineering degree, it is not for the weak.
It's not for lighthearted and it takes time. And I totally agree with you that 10-year gap, I had a 10-year gap between my master's and my doctoral start. And I was ready for that. That 10 years taught me so much and got me prepared. So I had that fire to get the work done because I also wanted to have that degree to make a difference, to be able to educate and move forward and help future leadership. So I totally agree with you. It does take, and I had little ones too, bouncing around. It's hard. It's commitment, and it's a whole community needs to come together. If I didn't have my husband and my mother at the time, you know, she was determined to help. Yes, needing those secure blankets around you is so critically 100%. Important. And so my last question is, because you are going, and I think you answered some of it already, but you've got this business that you're running. For those that are considering pursuing having, and I don't think it's fair to call it a side gig, because that's more than what this is. This is a full-fledged business. Any advisement for anybody who's wanting to explore being a business owner?
Absolutely. So all of the years I've worked in the bank, I've sat on the other side of the table where I'm advising businesses and helping businesses, but it is definitely different being on the other side. What I would say is you first need to start by having a very strong business plan. When we got into thinking about opening a wine company, what we thought would be a good idea. And then once we researched and started developing a plan, a lot of that was not really much of a great idea. And so a lot of times people start businesses because they're passionate about something. They see a gap somewhere and they want to fill it. But what you have to do is you have to have a plan. I know that with your company, you do a lot of strategic planning.
Yes.
That is so important because otherwise your business isn't going to weather the challenges if you're not prepared for them. So that would be the first thing. The second thing that I would say is be bold. If you're interested in starting something, my husband has been a police officer. He would have never even had the boldness to be like, I'm going to do a whole wine company. But think big and think bold because the people who have been successful in their businesses are the ones who have gone for it. I mean, look at the clients that you have. I'm sure you didn't get those big clients from just sitting around and like hoping that someone shows up. No, you went and you did your thing and you got them and you're doing big things. And so make sure you're very clear on your business plan. Make sure that you understand that big ideas take audacity. That was another thing I talked about in my speech a couple of weeks ago is have audacity. Mm-hmm. Go out and inbox the McBride sisters. Go out and say, hey, you know what? I want to get this client who lives in London. Go do it and have big dreams. Otherwise, you know, there won't be as much reward if you're not shooting for the stars. And then the last thing that I would say is to, and this is going to be a little abstract, but to get involved in your community and create your Rolodex of people. I don't think the demand for our product and service for our wine would be as big if we didn't have as many connections and people who loved us and wanted to support us. So create your village and be around the people you admire. I mean, be in rooms with people like Dr. Shanda Gore and some people who, you know, you look up to, and make those connections, because then they'll want to support your business. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's true. I love your business, and I'm looking forward to upcoming events that you'll be having. You know, I can't say thank you enough. I think this message of being bold, having the audacity to step forward and think big, if anything, taking away from the show today, I really hope our listeners are catching that. And I can't thank you enough.
Thank you so much. It's been an honor to be here with you, Dr. Gore. Your podcast is amazing. And thank you for all you do in the community and elevating voices and just really placing your own skill set and passion out in the community. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. And thank you to our listeners. We appreciate all your feedback and your suggestions. Remember to like the show, subscribe, and definitely share it. So until next time.
The Pen Leader Podcast is hosted by Dr. Shanda Gore and brought to you by Mace & Associates LTD, creating customized solutions for growth in the areas of leadership development, strategic planning, and culture building. Find out more at www.maceassociatesltd.com. Don't forget to subscribe to the Pen Leader Podcast and share with others.